Here's a man that's genuine. Here's a man that practices what he preaches. Here's a man that loves people. I love and appreciate Brother Jeff Arnold. Everybody say, I love you, Brother Jeff. I want to hear you preach. I mean it.
Praise God. Praise God. Come to your conference. I guess this is 10 times now. Never, I don't think one time ever entered this pulpit uncomfortable until now. Always come bold, raging as a lion. But there's been such a kaleidoscope of emotion and roller coaster that I feel like I'm dismembered. I feel like I'm trying so hard. I would like to thank you, all the wonderful Alexandria Pentecostals and the Mangan family and the staff and you sweet people that have made it so warm for us. I want to thank all of the folks that have been so kind to come by and grab my arm or hug my neck or tell me that they have been praying for me. I sat in the service when this conference first began and just wept and shook as I listened to Anthony, and I listened to Mike Williams, and I listened to so many people who had parents, who had moms and dads who loved the Lord and who served the Lord. And I sat over here and I felt so all alone, wishing that I had a Christian dad or a Christian mother or maybe just anybody in my family who was Christian. Those things have not been, but you have been good family to me, and I want to thank you very, very much. I know that the service has been high, and I have just so agonized with what God would have me say to this conference that sometimes it's very hard for a man who is in the number 4 spot, the cleanup batter, to just bunt. I really do thank you. You are the sweetest people. And I thank my home church that's praying for me now. And I wish I was a better person. I wish I was a hero. I wish I was a mighty man. I wish I was a holy man. I wish I was as good as some of you people think I am. I want so desperately to be holy.
Yeah.
And I'd rather be holy than a conference preacher. I'd rather be pleasing to the Lord than in a few moments for you to hit me on the back and say, oh man, you're just a preacher. I'd like to be able to walk off here in a few minutes and the Lord say to me, I'm very happy with what you did. And I'm happy with your spiritual progress. And so if you'll just give me just a few minutes. I've never preached a few minute message in my life, but I'm going to talk for a few minutes what I really believe that the Lord has talked to me about. I'm reading from Exodus 19. Oh boy. If you could grab a hold of how hungry the heart of God is to change this movement to a movement of pure people.
want to be better preachers than God's want to make us purer people. We want to be powerful people. God is somehow, at least maybe it's just me, saying, I'd rather have my people pure. I'd rather have my people honest and transparent than just performers.
Right.
Oh, boy. Exodus 19, verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. The whole mount quaked greatly. When the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake. God answered him by a voice. I can't help myself. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount, sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down. Thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. Here it is. Preach the black conference for a man that's just a preacher in Gainesville. Called me to preach. God gave me a message. And when I preached it, I felt the Lord put it deep in my spirit, said, put it back. I will use you now. Because of the times, and talk to these people, because I love them and they're my people. Please hear me. Don't make me hit a home run. Don't make me hit the ball out of the park. And the Lord said, away, get thee down. Thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. I talk to you for a few moments tonight, a few moments. If we'll break through, he wants to break forth. I don't think you heard me. He said, don't let the people break through. Because I promise, if they break through, I'm going to break forth. God, take the service. Give me wisdom and insight and anointing. Speak to the people. Help me. Help me to minister rather than preach. To bring light rather than uplift. Cause the people to receive truth. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of thanksgiving. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm wondering if you're understanding the impact of what I just said. God has given to the people of Israel a principle from his own lips. He's as if he's saying to Moses, I promise you,
If you break through, I'm going to break forth. Now, God has spent 2.5 days with the Pentecostal movement trying to get us broken. But in this last service, God wants to give us a principle. It's not enough to be broken. Once you get broken, now you've got to break through your barrier, and God's fixing to break forth into your problem. There is a proper way to break through. The curse on this particular scripture was, if you break through to gaze, if you're not serious about this, if you just want to watch, if the only reason you want gifts is so you can have gifts, God's trying to get a hold of us right now. You better not wait for an hour. I ain't going to preach an hour. I'll be in and out of shooting 15, 20 minutes. Hear me again, he said. You tell the people, don't you dare break through the gaze. God is tired of people in our churches that just want to gaze. The day of the gazer is over. The day of the playboy is over. The day of just playing Pentecost patty cake is over. God is telling this church for the last time, you better not break through as a spectator. Because I promise, whatever breaks through causes me to break forth. And if God breaks forth in judgment on gazers, he breaks forth in jubilee on praisers. You're not hearing me. He breaks through in power on prayers. He breaks through in glory on people that are transparent and honest. You don't have to worry about God breaking forth. He's waiting on us to break through. Yeah, you may see it for a minute. Oh God. Oh God. Did you get it? Did you hear me? Is the mic on? Did you hear what God said? He said, Anthony, Mink, if you're willing to break through, I promise you, I'll immediately break forth. Tell the people at the conference that when they leave this conference, they don't have to worry about carrying the atmosphere or the emotion or the goosebumps. I'll put it within each of their hearts. If they're willing to go home and break through the boundary and break through the barrier and break through the obstacle, I promise them, tell them from me, Jeffrey, I promise them, I will break forth in splendor, in glory, in power, in deliverance. It's already guaranteed. God said, I'll break forth. Are you willing to break through? Oh, glory. Just give me a few more minutes. I'm almost finished. The Bible said the men of Bethshemeth broke through. And God broke forth. And before sunset, 50,070 lay on the ground. Why? It's dangerous to try to break through sidestepping blood. I'm not going to use this pulpit to get anything off my chest. But I'm going to tell you that God's honest truth. You need to stop giving yourself an Excedrin headache over a bunch of bimbos that have crowds. They got crowds at Amway. They got crowds at Shackley. They got crowds at Disney World. But there's a big difference between a crowd and a church. Don't prostitute the truth that gets yourself a following. Stay with the truth and break through the closeness to God. And God has promised, I'll when you decide to break through. You be seated just a second. I'm almost done. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth. Now, in order for it to die, it has to break through. The life is inside the container. In order for the harvest to break forth, for the harvest to break forth. Hear me now. I got this in the motel tonight praying. I don't steal from nobody. I got it tonight praying. God whispered in my ears and tell them that the breaking through always takes place where nobody can see it. Because the seed breaks through under the saw. Breaking through takes place in darkness, in loneliness, not in crowds. It takes place when you're underneath the surface and you can't get credit for it and you can't get a pat on the back. But the breaking forth of the harvest, everybody gets to enjoy it. Inside this shell. But if we go home with the shell not broken, there's not going to be the harvest that we want. We got to break out of the shell. It's not enough for us to have life. Break through the shell and God will break forth. You be seeing it. I'm almost finished. Animals that live in shells got to break through. Chickens, alligators, turtles, they're all alive. Biggest curse, I'm finished, nobody after me. Biggest curse in Pentecost. It ain't video, it ain't TV, it ain't putt-putt golf. It's a whole bunch of folks who got life inside the shell but won't fight with the shell. We're intoxicated on our own experiences. We're intoxicated on our own knowledge. We're intoxicated on our own concepts. God wants to take our concepts tonight and break them apart and tear them apart because there's more that you don't know than you do know. Did you hear me? You can scoop up the ocean in a cup. But there's a lot more outside the cup than in your cup. We are drunk on our own understanding. Just bear with me just a few minutes. I'm on my way down. Because Brother Kenny said my landing gear's down. Yeah. I just want to have a long runway. I've never seen it in my life. Brother Jack, I've never seen it in my life. He said, if you break through, I'll stand at wherever you break through, ready to just break forth. You ain't gonna bait me. You ain't gonna fuss with me. You ain't gonna fast till your belly button falls off. You ain't gonna talk in tongues like a Chinese laundry and read all these neat little books and go to all these little seminars. All you gotta do, you little dirtbag, is get honest. All we gotta do is get hungry. Our problem is we're just hungry enough for something that makes us feel better. God's trying to take this conference into a dimension that can make us better. But we got to break through. And when you break through, you gotta leave some stuff behind. Okay, almost there. I read in Daniel Webster's book. He's not with us. He wrote a good book. He said breakthrough is a penetration beyond enemy defense. He said a breakthrough can be a major advance in solving a problem. Breakthrough is to reach a goal through varied obstacles. Some of you have no more drive than to feel God. Some of us study so we can defend what we already believe. Some of us will not go after Him lest we reach an uncomfortable, unfamiliar dimension that would make us lose our pride and our image. I have died 1,000 deaths coming to this conference, to this service tonight, because of my image. Because you love me. Uncle Billy, you do love me. You prayed for me. Everybody tells me. He introduced me before as Wonder Man or something. I got this image. Oh, God's going to preach. Going to bring you stuff. And here God said, oh, do you love me, Jeffrey? I love you. Do you really love me, Jeffrey? Here you go. Say this. But this is a special conference. Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Is that a special conference? So glad you told me, Jeff. I didn't know that was a special conference. What do you plan on doing at that special conference? You want to tell each other how great you are, right? Aren't you tired of that song? Obstacles. Notice, please, that the barrier that we usually have to break through is always set up by flesh. He said, set the bounds. And I'll set the criteria for coming up. And when the priests come up, they can go by the bounds provided they're sanctified. But now if the priests ain't sanctified, I'm going to kill them too. Now I don't want the gazers, and I don't want the unsanctified folks. Well, I don't know how to... Do you really think that you can go take your clothes off and please God? All this fussing and cussing and all this stupidity going on. That like we're in some kind of bondage. Like church is Auschwitz and Buchenwald and Dachau. And that somehow we got under some kind of preacher that makes us do this and makes us dress this way and live this way. And I'm going to tell you something. I live out of thankfulness. I keep myself straight out of gratefulness. I am a product of grace. I am thankful to God that God has honored me enough that I can represent the King of Glory on this planet. And I'm not sucking my thumb because I'm trying to be holy. And I'm going to tell you something else while you're on your feet. God isn't sucking His thumb because He's holy. I don't see God walking up and down in heaven saying, man, I wish I wasn't so pure. I wish I wasn't so clean. I wish there was a little bit of darkness. My Lord, all of heaven's full of my glory. Everything's full of my life. Boy, I'm having a bad day. Well, I'll hit it right now, and you can just do what you want later. If you stopped at holiness, being dressed in standards, you missed the whole message. Holiness is Jesus. Holiness is God. Holiness is the person of God Himself. You'll be seated. I'm sorry to be offensive. Let me tell you something. With all that's taking place in this fantastic conference, and as I said before, the kaleidoscope of emotions that most of us have tasted and drank and sweat and just wept and cried and slobbered and snotted and boohooed and carried on and gave ourselves headaches from crying so hard and watching all these. Have you heard the theme of this conference? From the time that Brother McCool started, if it ain't broke, break it. To Sister Mangan, throw it down and pour it out. To Mike Williams getting us out of depression because he's over everything. that David Fuller saying, just don't quit, go beyond that, break the barrier of easy quitting, to every message, to this man saying, going beyond bitterness, to Brother Odin just covering the place with shreds of bread, breaking. Don't you hear what the Spirit is saying in this conference? I want to take you beyond where you are. I don't want you just to have a good feeling. I want to break you, and then I want you to break through. And I promise you, if you're willing to break through, I will break forth and show you stuff you've never seen. You please be seated. Bear with me just another 5 minutes. Do you know why it's easier for us to set dress codes and hair standards? It don't take so long. As true holiness, which is the nature of God. So we look at our people and we say, well, what you're doing in practice is not good. So take this off, put that on, don't do this, don't snip that. And I believe we are correct. But I just think that we've got the cart before the horse. But we feel the pressure of the brethren and our image. What will they think? Who gives a good flip? Did you die for me? Did you shed your blood for me? Did you give me the Holy Ghost? Am I going to let you hold me hostage just because you don't understand my motives? My motives are unto the Lord. You just take your cheap shots, but I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be pure. I'm going to be clean. I'm going to walk with God, and I'm going to go beyond the comfort zone of the Pentecostal movement. Give me seated just a minute. I'm trying to finish. We are so fast. Okay, all you brethren, you're the big guns. You can shoot us little punks down. Shoot on, Jack. We are so fast to preach against the cosmetics on the skin. What about the makeup on the soul? We want to jump and jam and carry on and tell folks you can't wear your rings and you can't wear your earrings and you can't do this and you can't do that. What about all the gaudy jewelry of idolatry, of attitudes and inner things that are inside of us? We don't want to deal with them. We've got to deal with them. That's the real citadel of holiness. That's what holiness is all about. But somehow, we feel if we don't get people up to the acceptable standard, what will everybody say? Who set your standard anyway? Where did you get the right to say you're right? Please be seated. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be mean. See, when you do this, are you smiling, Brother Lehman, or are you just in shock? You're shocked. See, when you do this, all you cats that are against everything but fresh air get nervous. Because you think I'm going to put my wife in a bikini and her backside's going to be flashing out on a beach somewhere and she's going to dress like some hussy and some slut. You're out of your mind, my friend. There is a higher dimension than just clothes. There is a higher dimension than just saying attire. But I'm for attire, and I'm for modest dress, and I'm for uncut hair. But I'm telling you, we are missing the heart of God. We are missing what God wants to do for us. And God wants to take this movement and break down the barrier of misunderstanding. So I get you dressed right, get you all fixed up, baby. You don't mind me calling you baby, do you, baby? We get you all straightened up, got this right. All right, you can now play. Now, you might have a spirit of a witch in you. But as long as I got you with what the guy said I got to get you. I told our folks Monday night, salvation flowed, Revelation 22 and 1, from the throne of God and the Lamb. The river of life flowed from the throne. That means it began with holiness. Holiness, here I go, ain't a dress code. It's not a list of where you can't go. It's His nature coming down from the throne and coming inside of us, and we so thankful we will in return respond to that gracious act any way He wants us to.
Let me just tell you something. I had the wonderful privilege to be in Australia a few weeks ago. What great people. Oh, let me just tell you, just quickly, what I told them. You can stay saved, be spiritual, be as close to God as you ever wanted, if you will do these three A's. Everybody said A. See, well, AAA only has to do with car parts and things. God was the original AAA. I'm going to give you a formula that you'll never be lost and you'll never be held in contempt by God. Now, the brethren, maybe, but not by God. Hear me. If you can do these three things in your life, you will always have victory. One, you have to abandon some things. You have to add other things. Over like a lead balloon here. And you have to alter the rest. If you will spend your walk with God in abandoning things that your lover says don't like it, adding other things to your soul that your lover says I like it, and then spend the rest of your days adjusting according to His desire, I promise you, you will become a holy man and a holy woman according to the criteria of heaven. My Bible says that God robes Himself with light like a garment. So what is holiness? It is a life full of pure light. You cannot be holy without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can be separated, you can abstain, you can be modest, you can be moral. You cannot be holy. The only thing that gives anything holiness is when God's nature and presence steps into the picture. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to say a few things that will violate your theology, but you just act like I'm telling the truth and you can take care of it later. Ooh. If you cannot be saved by conduct, because you're saved by grace through faith, if you cannot be saved by conduct, then you can't be lost by conduct. Yeah, I got more response than I thought I would. I didn't get none from the preachers. Yeah, I know. Come on, let's watch it. If we could get accepted before God on the premise of our performance, then we'd be saved by works and not grace. But now you're telling me, oh no, you can't be saved by works. Can be saved by grace. That means it's a sovereign work of God. God looks at an idiot and saves the idiot. Okay? Now watch. He saves you. Now, we yoke the believer with a conduct code and say, Now you do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. And that will keep you safe. Now you're keeping yourself safe. I'm confusing you. I'm sorry to make you think. Well, I guess I have to clarify it. Well, Brother Arnold, does that mean we can live like dirt bags? God, heaven, no. Well, you said it doesn't matter. No, I didn't say it doesn't matter how you live. I said you're not kept by conduct. You're kept by the same grace and the same power that found you. And as you learn the criteria of heaven, God will issue to you, either through the Word, through the Spirit, or through the ministry, acceptable conduct. But you must understand, your acceptable conduct is not to keep you saved. It's to bring pleasure to your lover. It's to honor Him that saved us by grace. Grace isn't a license to live lascivious lives. Grace is a higher law than law.
Assistant Superintendent, I'm so far out on thin ice now, you're going to throw me a life preserver. Save my soul. You hear me? I'm trying to live as clean and as pure and as godly. And please, brethren, don't get all bent out of shape at me. I'm not taking a cheap shot. I believe living as godly and as clean and as pure as we can. But I'm trying to get understanding. I'm trying to comprehend the debtor that I am to the grace of God and the mercy of God and the long-suffering of God and the tender kindness of God and understanding the slime hole that He brought me out of and stepped me in. The Bible says He brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. What is holiness? Light. What is full mature holiness? Luke 11. If your eye be single, then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. But our problem is, we've never let people be at different stages of life. So everybody's got to conform and measure up. But why can't we just let people make progress? You say, oh, Brother Arnold, you're going to open up the doorways for a whole bunch of rebels. Well, they're not saved anyway. What are you worried about? You mean to tell me you could bring somebody to Calvary after what we heard Floyd Odom do to us today and ripped our hearts out after we heard the spirit of prophecy on Vesta Lane Mangan and say, now will you come? Now will you come? You mean you could go to Calvary in the gore and the vileness of vulgarness of all that sacrifice and sin and then try to use that as a license to give your flesh a chance to have a holiday? You missed the whole message. Oh, I got me a divided house. We better clap. Hallelujah. You be seated. I'm almost there. I'm just touching the runway right now. I came to this conference and I've been so tore up because I just didn't feel like Jeff Arnold, Michael. You light my fuse and I just go. But God's got this restraining collar on me. I said, oh, come on, they've gone all the time now. Talk to them. They need to break through ignorance. Don't you understand the reason why God has put a special anointing on us as His people? It's not because we are right.
in all our areas and where we put the flag of holiness up on the beach. But it was that we did it as unto the Lord, trying to please God and be pure and not be offensive to God. So we put the flag up here. What's the big deal if you wake up in the rapture and we get there and you find out you could have lived 20 foot this side of it? It was unto the Lord. We were trying to please Him who saved us. We were trying to make sure that we were not offensive to deity who so delivered us with His divine goodness. What is wrong? Hey, if I get every one of the ladies in our church to the rapture and I find out that they could have run around in band-aids and looked like butch haircut boys, I promise not a one of them is going to spit at me and say, "Why, you dirtbag, you got me saved." Oh, you should see what I see right now. I'm talking about breaking through so He can break forth. I'm talking about going another step higher from what we already understand and what we've already experienced and what we've already learned. Do you really believe that your experience is the ultimate? Do you believe your understanding is the end? There's a height in God this church has never been to. There's a depth in the Holy Ghost that we've never been to. Why are we afraid to break through? Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. God says to us, "Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you." But every time I'd Sister Vestally, Brother Dees, every time I try to draw near to Him, because He is pure light, absence of any blemish, any darkness. You must understand that when I got saved, I was a building of darkness. I wasn't just in the darkness. I was a total warehouse of darkness. And when God grabbed me, He took me out of the darkness into the light. It doesn't say He took the darkness out of me. It said He took me out of darkness into light. Then when He gave me the Holy Ghost, He deposited in me the essence of His being, which is holy light. And He expects me to let that light expand. But if we just set a standard of what we think is acceptable, we don't ever let the light go into more dark areas and more dark rooms and more closets in our soul. We've got to let the light expand until we experience total transformation. Okay. I'm so sorry. Listen, I told Brother Kilgore this. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, here's what God does. He imputes to us. Everybody say impute. He imputes to us righteousness. Now there's a reason why Brother Ewing says He imputes and not imparts. Because when He imputes something, that which is imputed cannot expand. It is a status. It is a position. It cannot get bigger, better, or less. So when we put our faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, by faith, He in grace and mercy imputes to us standing righteous. You can't be more righteous. You can't be less righteous. It is an overall statement, all inclusive, righteous. But when He wants us to be holy, He does not impute to us. He imparts to us. Because when He imparts the part of His nature into us, He expects what has been imparted to expand. You're not hearing me. Some of us, our holiness has expanded to a standard. Anything wrong with the standard? No! Do we need it? Yes! But why let it be the ceiling? I
to know him. I want to know him for myself. I don't want to just be saved. I want to be like Jesus.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm going to ask you guys. I'm looking right in your kisser. I ain't afraid of you guys. But I do honor you and respect you. I'm not speaking degrading to all you cats. And I'm really not. Excuse me, I shouldn't have called you cats. You fine gentlemen, okay? Fine. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of you was raised in the church. You don't know nothing about whoring around and honky-tonking, getting your brains beat in, getting thrown in jail, fussing and cussing, dirty mind, dirty mouth. You don't know nothing about that. You're virgin territory. I know you was lost and undone, but you don't know nothing. But you get an old dirtbag like me that's come out of the hell holes and the honky-tonks, and I came in here, and I'm glad you were a holiness preacher. I'm glad you were a holiness preacher. You taught me something that was good for me, that cleansed me from things that you saw was evil. That was good. That was right. But now, God, not Jeffrey, God is saying to this movement, okay, kiddies, now let's go further. See? Him, James Kilgore. If I got him, I'll always be holy. I'll never hate you. I'll never lie on you. I'll never have a dirty mouth or a dirty mind. If I live close to him, if I'm full of light, I will not lust. I will not want to do anything that would be degrading or reproachful or embarrassing to the majesty of Calvary. All right, I'll try to finish. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be, Pastor Lane Mangan, I am trying to be a holy man. I am so sick of myself because I'm not a holy man. You see, I'm only holy as far as I allow the imputing and the imparting to operate in me. Oh, what are these drives and these emotions? Oh, look at this corner. Remember, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We are creatures of darkness. And God is light. And God steps into your soul, CLDs, and says, let me see what we've got here. The Bible says, worship the Lord in the Jimbo, in the beauty of holiness. How come we've made it ugly? Why did we make it ugly? Brother Lumpkin, why? Why did we somehow say, oh God, it's just bondage, hair and dress and... You missed it! Holiness is not hair and cosmetics and dress and putt-putt golf. It's not. It's Jesus Christ. It's being full of Jesus Christ. It is. But when you're full of Jesus Christ, you don't want to whore around. You don't want to watch dirty video. You don't want to smoke. You don't want to drink. You don't want to do that stuff because you're a child of light. When you really are full of light, you ladies, you don't want to whack your hair off. That's your glory. You don't want to paint yourself up. You're supposed to give forth the Shekinah of God, which was the shining of God. Let God shine through your pores and not Max Factor. He said he beautified the meek with salvation. That's his salvation. Holiness unto the Lord. Okay, 1 minute, the one wheel's down. I'm going right now. You hear me? I'm on suicide mission here right now.
nothing wrong with our dress code. We just have a bad understanding of why we do it. Our dress code is right. Our desire for modesty is right. Our desire for purity is right. But we'd have more joy. We'd have more happiness if we had greater understanding. With all thy getting, get understanding. Okay. I have 4.5 pages of notes, Reverend Mike. I haven't hit the first line on the first page. God is absolutely ruining me. Well, I'm going to tell you, not in boast, but in fear and trembling. Wednesday night, I taught 1.5 hours on holiness. We spent 5 weeks, 1.5 hours. That's a lot of time. Have never left the throne yet. Everything I touch up there, holy, light, holy, radiance, holy, 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 light, no blemish, no blemish, no darkness, holy, holy, everything he does, holy, holy, can't get away from the throne. And Wednesday night, I'm in turmoil, the end of the service, and God gives a message in tongues and an interpretation, and he calls me in the interpretation and says, because you have hungered and thirsted for revelation, I am giving it to you because you have desired to know me and what is real holiness and what is true holiness. I am going to give you words to take to your people and to tell them what I want them to hear. He told me in that thing, do not be afraid of their faces. Do not be afraid of what they think they can do to you. I am giving you words for my people because they love me and I love them, but I want to lift them to a higher plateau. You don't have to lose anything we have. All you got to do is step past where you are and get it in proper perspective. There's something beautiful about being a holy child of God. Now the Lord told me that. The Lord told me that. I have been in turmoil since I came. Because I wanted to preach, whoa, knock it out of that park, Louie. Knock the cover off the ball, everybody take your pictures, sign autographs. And God is saying, hey, I talk to you. Could be I'm the only dude who'll tell it. One of the kindest things this movement has ever done for me is think of me as a slob. Oh, yes. One of the kindest things you've ever done is to think I'm a second-rate bimbo because I have no image to protect. Some of you think I'm insane, I'm rude, I'm crude, I'm wacko. I'm all of the above and more. But I'm not afraid of you. I was a drunk. I was an immoral, filthy, vile person. And Jesus Christ reached into the sludge and the slime and brought me out of that mess. And I'm trying to take this movement to where it needs to go. Hear me, I'm trying to take you to a place. You know why we fight against these poor people, what we call charismatics? I'll tell you why we fight them. We're ticked off because they're so happy. And we say the reason they're happy is because they don't dress right. They don't do this. No, no! They've got an understanding of grace. Very ignorant about proper dress and morality and modesty, but an understanding of grace. And it ticks us off because if we got to put a dime in a meter, we want everybody putting a dime in a meter. Those precious people alone and let God lead them and let us love them, but us go on to perfection, go on to real holiness. Have you got any idea how far away you are from God? He says, I dwell in the light that no man can approach. How far on the outer peripheral edge are you, you PC guy, with your little candle? I'm baptized in Jesus' name. I got the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. I dress right, live right, and do right. You should do all that because you're responsible for light and knowledge. That's true. But have you ever thought how far you are on the outer peripheral edge of what real holiness is? And you stop there because you've learned a certain thing that makes you comfortable and accepted. And here you are, Jim Larson. You and I, we're standing together. We're on the outer perimeter with our little candle. Damning and condemning everybody behind us. Well, look at these dirtbags. Dress that way and talk that way and live that way. Dear God, ain't got no respect for God. Thy word is a lamp unto my... Oh, that means you're supposed to make progress. If God says, I'll give you enough light for one step at a time, why can't we accept one step at a time? God knows what we're able to get a hold of. God knows what we're able to embrace. God knows what we're able to learn. And a lamp unto my pathway. All I got is a light, and all I got is a candle. And I see way off, Brother Glass, way off, brilliant light, absence of darkness. And somewhere coming out of the center of that ball of burning fire is a hand and a voice saying, come on, Glass. Come on. Come on, I said. Come here. Come close. But every time I come close, Brother Deese, that light outdoes this light, and all of a sudden my infractions and my fallacies and my shortcomings and my dark areas manifest themselves. So what do? I step back into the familiar. We are at a level, huh? God's trying to take us away from it. He's not telling us anything we've done wrong. Except stop. We see it one more moment, please. I'm sorry. Oh. Brother Lumpkin, would you tell me the truth? You love me. You really do. Tell me the truth. Am I making sense? That's all I need. Breaking through barriers of misunderstanding. Didn't you hear this brilliant man today? Didn't you hear that? Didn't you hear what the Spirit was saying? Break through unforgiving attitudes and bitterness. Why? So that I can release my power to work among you. If you break through, I break forth. Didn't you hear, Brother McCool? If it ain't broke, break it. Why? Didn't you hear Sister Mangan? Throw it down, pour it out. What did she say? If you throw it down and pour it out, then the blessing is coming. It's an automatic equation. You don't have to go home from here and beg God. Now, I'd like to be able to preach eloquent like David Fuller or Mike Williams. Can't do it. Just my brain don't work that way. Ain't got those words. Can't do it. I'd like to have all those 2,000 one-liners flash over here's God. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'd like to sing like some of you folks in that choir sing, but I just ain't got the tools to sing, okay? I'd like to play like you play, Sister Mickey, but I just ain't got what it takes to play. But now when it comes to how close I want to be to God. Now I set the distance. And I'm not going to let you set it no more. Thank you for helping me. But don't damn me and condemn me when I step a little further and say, he's calling me to a place of commitment. He's calling me to a... God, have mercy. He's calling me to a place of understanding. He's calling me to a communion in the Spirit that I've never had. Okay, keep standing. I didn't get to my sermon. Okay, they just gave me a 6-minute reprieve. Sit down. Brother Williams, would you get me a Gideon story? I think it's Judges 7. I think is what it is. Just bear with me just another minute. Oh, God. Oh, God. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. You know why most of us don't get any closer to God? We're afraid of Him. Hear me. You cannot commit if you are not convinced. And you will never challenge areas in your life that you are not convinced they're supposed to go. That's why Paul was so powerful. I'm persuaded. What does that mean? I'm convinced. Listen to me. If this Bible is right, and I assume it is, that God is love, then why have we let the devil, or our friends, or our family, or peer fear stagnate us so that we are not open and honest with God about our own weaknesses? That's why in your lifetime, you won't have more than 5 or 6 real, real close friends. You know why? We have a lot of associates, a lot of people we admire. But close friends that you could say anything that was wrong in your life to, and it would not be in California or Montana or New York or Miami before the sunrise. You know why we don't share? Listen to me. You know why we don't share our hearts? You know why we're not more intimate with each other? Because I am not convinced of your love for me. But if I am ever convinced that you, I am, if I am ever convinced that you love me, I can be so open with you about my weaknesses and failures. I can tell you, Uncle Bill, I'm afraid of this, and I got drives about this, and sometimes I have feelings that are not right, and I can put that in your bosom. And I know because you love, that's it, because you love me.
I love you.
Your Father loves you. Why are you afraid to come close to love and say, I've got this lust, I've got this bitterness, I've got this fear, I've got this temper, I've got this desire. As if somehow, because it didn't come across your lips, God couldn't read your spirit. As if somehow everything is not naked and open before whom we have to deal with. I told our church in confession and weeping and slobbering the other night that I had to go to the Lord in prayer about drives and desires and things in me that are not good, that humiliate me and embarrass me. And when I went to confess to God, the greatest battle I had in my life was to bring those truths across my lips to Him. I couldn't hardly tell Him what I had said or what I had watched, or what I had read, or what I had desired, or what I was doing in the secrets of my heart. Now, I knew that He knew it, but it was almost like telling your mother when you were a kid that you said a 4-letter word, or you stole something, or you did something. I could not bring myself to say, Dad, until finally He said to me, Sister Mary, I love you. You are with me. Do you understand what is fixing to break loose in this place if you can really believe that He loves you unconditionally? That your conduct doesn't keep you and your performance doesn't keep you. If you are trying to be saved on your performance, no wonder you're unhappy. No wonder you have Monday day syndromes. No wonder you have deep, deep lows and great big highs, because everything is predicated on your performance. Read for me, Brother Mike, and I'm quitting.
So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him,
yeah,
came under the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch.
Now, when you're afraid and you believe God's lying, you're in good company. God had told Gideon, "I've delivered all the Midianites into your hand." Then turns around and says, "But if you think I'm lying, go down with fury, your servant, and hear what the heathen says."
Yeah.
And when he heard the heathens, and that, boy, that'll kill us Pentecostals. How dare God give supernatural dreams to folks not like us? But the heathen had a dream, and the heathen had an interpretation. And isn't it funny that when the heathen said what God said, then the saint of God worshiped? Funny, we have prophecy going here all the time. Don't believe it. You read the newspaper, watch TV, or listen to the radio. Now we believe something's going on. And the scripture says when he came back, he was ecstatic and said, "Arise, let's go. The Lord's delivered him into our hands." Read for me, Reverend. I'm almost done.
And they had newly set the watch.
Yeah.
And they blew the trumpets and break the pitchers that were in their hands.
Did you hear that? I'm talking about breaking through so that God can break forth. The pitcher is an earthen vessel. It's a picture of us. When the whole scenario started, the pitcher had no light. Light had to be given to it. You act like you started with light. The light had to be put inside the vessel. You ready for this? And then God said, "Break the vessel." Why? Because not unless you break the vessel does the light shine out. I'm almost done. Please don't yawn. I'm almost done. Read.
And the three companies blew the trumpets,
yes,
and break the pitchers.
Yes.
And held the lamps in their left hand.
Yeah.
And the trumpets in their right hands to blow with all.
Wonder where the swords are. If you got a pitcher in one hand and a trumpet in the other, where's the sword? Oh, unless the battle's the Lord's.
Yeah.
Unless you're willing to break through the vessel and then watch God do His thing. Read on. Closing.
And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon."
Read.
And they stood every man in his place.
I wish I had another hour. I'd like to preach on you. You know where your place is? That's our problem. We don't know where we belong. Says every man stood in his place.
Round about the camp.
Read.
And all the host ran and cried and fled.
Wait a minute. When you break through and God breaks forth, He puts panic in the heart of your enemy. You should not have to spend all your time fighting your enemy and fighting your flesh. You ought to be fishing for souls. Finish reading. I'm sorry, I've been so long.
And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord said, "Every man."
Wait a minute, that's what I want you to get to. They did it. They broke through. They broke through their fear, their misunderstanding, and their vessels. And the very next verse says, "And God said."
Set every man's sword against his fellow.
What's the sermon? Breaking through so he can break forth. The minute they broke through fear, the minute they broke through conventional ways, the minute they broke the lot, the earthen vessel, and God stepped in the camp and caused panic and confusion. Finish reading.
Even throughout all the host, and the host fled to Bethshitta in the Zarephath, or wherever in the name of common sense, and to the border of Abel Mahala unto Taba. Where'd you find this?
Read.
You better be glad it's me and not Anthony. Okay. And the men of Israel.
Wait a minute. Everybody stand with me now. Wait a minute. Now I want you to listen to this. Listen to this. I said, if we can break through
God's waiting to break forth. Now watch what he's going to read. After they broke through their fears, they broke through their anxieties, they broke through their worries, they broke the vessels, and the light shines out, and they blow the trumpet, and they yell the sword of the Lord and Gideon. God steps in the scene, causes panic among the enemies. They start killing each other, start running everywhere. But watch this great miracle. Next verse.
And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites.
There it is. When you get God to break forth, he goes and finds all the people that quit. The three tribes he just read were the three tribes that made up the 32,000 that were too afraid to fight. Hear what I'm telling you. God, if you let him break forth, he can find every backslider, everybody that's afraid, and he can bring people back to the truth who couldn't start with the battle, but will finish with the battle if we keep our spirits right. I ask your forgiveness for not preaching better. I thank you for listening. I pray that you have understood what I've tried to say. Samson is dying, a blind man. He is asking someone to lead him to the pillars of the temple. The scripture says he did never ask God for what he physically had lost, two eyes. He said, avenge me of my eyes, but he never asked back physically what he had lost. But he did ask God, would you give me one more opportunity to fulfill your original purpose when you anointed me. Let's worship the Lord a minute. Praise the Lord. 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 What is your barrier? Come on, what is your barrier? What is the thing that holds you back? May I close with one statement? Jimmy Lumpkin, I'll look at you and just preach to you a second. Let me ask you something. What are you trying to do in your life that is totally impossible without God stepping in? What would this movement do? How would we sacrifice? How would we live? How would we worship if we were sure God would stand with us? We're not convinced. That's why we can't commit. Aroused, emotionally high, yes, but commit. When are we ever going to be persuaded that God will stand with us? What are you trying to do in your local church that's totally impossible to accomplish unless God intervenes? You see, we settle into nice, careful, comfortable Christianity. Not many casualties there, but not many victories either. Safe. We give according to our resource. We had enough money here, and I thank you for what you did.
But we had enough money here today to have written off all the debts of these missionaries. What an insult to Calvary that we make precious men and women of God stand in front of us like Barnum and Bailey circus people and stand with their hands out and say, give me $20 a month. Give me $25 a month. I'll travel 160,000 miles this year begging from your churches. We have got to break through. I'd like to worship one more time. I'd like to worship one more time. Come on, we've got this treasure in earthen vessels. Break the alabaster jar right now. Fill the house with fragrance. Come on. You can be honest about your shortcomings. You're dealing with love. You're dealing with love. Come on, abandon. Adjust. Add. If my people, why are we so dishonest? What in the name of good sense are we trying to protect? Break through your thoughts. Break through your fears. Break through your imaginations. Break through your ego. Come on, break through your concepts.